Rolling on disparate, widely ambitious projects, from self-driving cars to smart contact lenses, that he restructured his company around the concept in August, making Google's core businesses a division of a new idea factory called Alphabet. Zuckerberg, by contrast, isn't interested in doing everything, just the things he views as deeply related to his company's central vision and crucial to it. There are different ways to do innovation, he says, drawing a stark contrast without ever mentioning Page, Google, or Alphabet. You can plant a lot of seeds, not be committed to any particular one of them, but just see what grows. And this really isn't how we've approached this. We go mission first, then focus on the pieces we need and go deep on them and be committed to them. Facebook's mission is to give everyone in the world the power to share and make the world more open and connected, as Zuckerberg says, explaining that he is now spending a third of his time overseeing these future initiatives. These things can't fail. We need to get them to work in order to achieve the mission. When Facebook was morphing from Ivy League college project to Silicon Valley startup, Zuckerberg had not only never run a company, he'd never been in a company, marvels Marc Andreessen, the browser pioneer, venture capitalist, Facebook board member, and longtime Zuckerberg confidant. He's learned everything he knows about business in the last 10 years, and now he's one of the best CEOs in the world. Whether because Zuckerberg, 31, started so young, or because he retains his youthful demeanor and gray T-shirt work uniform, he has been underestimated for almost as long as his company has existed. Facebook wouldn't work outside Harvard. It wouldn't work outside elite colleges. It wouldn't work among the general populace. It couldn't topple MySpace. It couldn't make enough money to justify its valuation. It couldn't hold on to teenagers once their parents signed up. It wouldn't matter as much on smartphones as it had on PCs. It couldn't make enough money on mobile to satisfy Wall Street. Zuckerberg and his team have overcome every doubt. 9 out of 10 of the 1.55 billion people a month who use Facebook access it on a mobile device at least part of the time, and more than 3/4 of its $4.3 billion in advertising revenue in the third quarter of 2015 came from mobile users. The company runs 4 of the 6 largest social platforms in the world, all but Google's YouTube and Tencent's WeChat, and is wildly profitable. 3 years ago, when the company revealed that 1 billion people logged into the service in 1 month, the news was astounding. Last August, 1 billion people used Facebook on a single Monday, and it felt inevitable. When I ask people close to Zuckerberg how exactly he has pulled off those achievements, I don't hear a lot of anecdotes about him swooping in and personally making genius-level decisions that suddenly changed everything. Instead, they praise his inquisitiveness, persistence, ability to deploy resources, and devotion to improving Facebook and himself. He has a knack for carving up grand plans into small, doable victories. Most of our conversation was about long-term strategy, and then we'd backtrack from there to what we should do over the next month, says Brett Taylor, who worked as Facebook's CTO from 2009 to 2012 and who was at the company when it corrected course after a famously bumpy first attempt at putting the service on smartphones. It's one of the main reasons why Facebook is where it is today. Zuckerberg is a total inspiration in how much he cares about his work and in how hard he works, says Chris Cox, who dropped out of a Stanford graduate program in 2005 to join the company as a software engineer and is now chief product officer, and is so integral to its culture that he still speaks with every new employee as part of his or her orientation. For all of us who work with him, it's like, man, he is so good at improving. Sue Desmond-Hellman is a Facebook board member and CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which puts her in close proximity to two prodigies who quit Harvard to seek fortunes out west. Both Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, she says, have this sense of restlessness. Why can't that happen? Why can't we accomplish this? It can be fun to be around that. It can also be like, oh my God. When I meet with COO Sheryl Sandberg, she shares a personal story of a family gathering involving the making of s'mores. It captures several of Zuckerberg's preternatural gifts. Mark said, "I'm going to make a marshmallow."